Your Bibles are not, please open them to Psalm 92. We're going to use verses 12 through 15 as a beginning point of our lesson this morning. Let me express appreciation for all who are here. As has been said, those who are visiting, we're delighted that you're here. Those of our members who are here, it's certainly encouraging to see each one of us. Glad that we're able to be here, thankful that we're able to be here to worship God this morning. Last week, I presented some lessons based on what the Bible has to say about those who are young, what God's will is for those who are young. What I'm going to do this morning, and perhaps this afternoon as well, but at least this morning, is talk about some of the things the Bible has to say about those who are old. And you know, when you consider what the Bible has to say, at least what I've been able to determine, the Bible talks about those who are old and it talks about those who are young. I don't find anywhere where it talks about middle-aged, and I think that's where a lot of us probably want to put ourselves. We want to think we're middle-aged. And we may be, I'm not saying there's not a middle age in our minds, but the Bible talks about the young and it talks about the old. I'll let you decide where you fall in that, depending on who we ask. If I were to ask a young child, they would certainly say I was old, and I am. But as I look around and I see different ones here, then I feel young, relatively speaking, based on the age that I am and the age that others are. What I'd like for us to do is just to see what the Bible has to say about those who are old. Rhett texted me yesterday, and some of the songs that he selected are songs that I hope will help us think about, or at least have our minds thinking about some things that we're going to consider this morning. When a person gets older, most of us who have worked for a period of time, we think in terms of retirement. And we think in terms of what is involved in a happy retirement. And people in doing that, they spend years planning and years saving for the time that they can retire from their livelihood, the job that has allowed them to pay their bills. And oftentimes what people do is they look forward to the free time that they have so that they can involve themselves in what interests them. But what I want to suggest this morning, and I want us to consider, is the fact that when we consider retirement, and certainly it's right and good that we can retire from some work that we've done for many years. But does that word retirement, is that applicable to the kingdom of God? Do we reach a certain point in our life, a certain age, or a certain time in our life, and when we reach that age, we not only retire from our work, but does the Bible suggest that what we do is that we retire from the kingdom of God? And obviously the answer is no. There's no such thing as retiring when we're serving God. We retire, we stop serving God when we die. One of the songs that we just sung, "We'll work till Jesus comes." Either till He returns during our lifetime or till our life comes to an end. Now, I want to say this, Rhett mentioned this even in our singing. Sometimes physical infirmities may be a hindrance. We just may not be able to do some of the things physically that we once could do. And the older I get, the more I can see that. I experience that. Marvin's not here this morning because he has trouble walking. We have others who are not here this morning because they are sick. But I want to also raise this question, though there are physical infirmities that may be a hindrance at times, is that a valid reason for us to retire from the work of the church? Though I might not be able to physically do some of the things that I once did, Do I still have responsibilities in serving God? Here in Psalm chapter 92, we find a description of the righteous. I want to read again, beginning with verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Here the righteous are described as palm trees and cedar trees, flourishing in the house and courts of God. And in particular, note what verse 14 says, they shall still bear fruit in old age, they shall be fresh and flourishing. And what that passage certainly suggests is there is a place for service in the Lord's work for those who are older. Now, I want to just say this before I go any further. I've never been associated with a congregation before I came here that had as many older people. And I want to follow that up by saying this. I sometimes just am in disbelief when I look and I see at those who are in their 80s, those who are in their 90s, and the work that is done. This is not a lesson to try to chastise those of us who are older. That's not the purpose. My purpose is, number one, we're going to look at God's Word and we're going to see that older people, 80 and above, they work in the Lord's kingdom. And then if we have time, and if not time this morning, this afternoon, we want to look and see that there is work in the Lord's church that older people not only can do, but are expected to do. And again, I appreciate so very, very much those of you who are older than me, and the work that you do. And that is so encouraging. And I might say this, if you're older and you're not working as you can, then what I want to do is to encourage you to do all that you can. That's what God expects of us. He expects us to do what we can at whatever point we are in our lives. And so let's just begin, as we talk about what the Bible has to say about older people. God's use of older people in the Bible. It's evident, as we're going to see, that God can and He does use the elderly. That's rather apparent. Let's just begin and talk about Moses and Aaron. We're familiar with Moses. Aaron was a little bit older, I think 3 years older than Moses, but they were the ones chosen. Moses was chosen by God to go and to deliver His people from Egyptian bondage. Aaron, after Moses made several excuses, God said, I'll send Aaron with you. But what I want us to notice is, in Exodus chapter 7, in verse 7, the Bible says, and Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. You know, that's about like several of us here. 80 years old. Somebody says, oh, but you know, back then people lived, Methuselah lived to be 900 and was it 69? I didn't check it. He lived to be long. He was old. Well, let me remind you of this. I want to go to Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. And here is a psalm Moses wrote. Moses said, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. The time in which Moses lived And Moses wrote, he said that 70 or 80 years, that's about the life expectancy. Obviously, they lived beyond 70, he and Aaron both. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about comparable to our time today. And I didn't look this past week. If you looked up the average age of men when they die and women when they die, you know it falls right here. We know people who live older. We know people who die younger. But here was Moses. He was 80, and Aaron, he was 83. And God used them at that age to deliver His people from Egyptian bondage. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, after Moses died, he was given the responsibility, the charge of leading the Israelites into Canaan and conquering the land of Canaan. I did some look and research, and probably during the last 30 years of his life. But here's what I do know. When I go to Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, 'You are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed.'" This was during the conquest. And during this time, we have Joshua being described as being advanced in years. If you go to the last chapter of the book of Joshua, the Bible says in verse 29, chapter 24, "Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. He lived to be 110 years old. Likely, he was about 80 years old as they went in to conquer the land of Canaan. He was an old man. I do know the Bible says this about Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. The Bible says, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know the words which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" Here is Caleb speaking to Joshua. Caleb said, "was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. 40 Caleb was when he was sent to spy out the land. Now it's 45 years later. He's 85. He said these 45 years, and now, I keep punching the wrong thing. Let me read verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." The point is this. Here was Joshua and Caleb. Caleb, we're told, 85 years old. Joshua, likely around 80, maybe a little older than 80. But both older men as they go into the land of Canaan and they conquer the land. God used old people in carrying out His will. Let's think about Daniel for just a minute. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "Thus Daniel continued unto the first year of King Cyrus." He served God from his youth. At this point, it would have been over 70 years that he served God. I did a little research. Nebuchadnezzar, he began reigning in 605 B.C. that's when Babylon took Daniel and other young men captive. How was Daniel at that time? I don't know. Some suggest maybe he was in his early teens. I really don't know. He was a young man, the Bible says. But from the time that he was taken captive in 605 B.C. to the time that King Cyrus, that we read about here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, he was the Medo-Persian king, and it was approximately 539 B.C. that they overthrew King Belshazzar, and that would have been, let me do my math right quick, 66 years from the time that Nebuchadnezzar began reigning to this time right here. 66 years. Had Daniel been, let's just say 14 or 15, then he would have been 80 or 81 at this time here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. Now, as you consider what the Bible has to say about Daniel, you know, typically, and Melinda and I, we were talking about that, talking about this week. When you think about Daniel, when he was cast into the lion's den, a lot of times what is pictured is, here he's a young man. That's not right at all. Daniel, very, very likely, was well over 80 years of age when he was cast into the lion's den. When you come to chapter 6, and you read chapter 6 of the book of Daniel, we find out that Daniel, and again, he's beyond 80. He is one of three governors chosen over the kingdom of Babylon. It's during this time frame that he's cast into the lion's den. And the Bible tells us that he prospered in the reigns of Darius and Cyrus the Persian. Here was Daniel... And we know about him when he was young, and we know that he dedicated himself, committed himself, purposed in his heart that he was going to serve God. And as he grew older, he was faithful to God, and God used him to carry out his purpose, to carry out his service. When you come to the New Testament, and you read about Zacharias and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. And they were the father and mother. They were the parents of John the Baptist. What is said about them in Luke chapter 1 verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. I don't know how old they were. I know they were well advanced in years. You know what Zacharias was doing as he was well advanced in years? He was serving in the temple. He was being used by God in His service. And Elizabeth, she gives birth to John the Baptist. When you think about Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2, here are two elderly people who bore witness to the Christ child when he was presented in the temple to be circumcised. When you look, beginning at verse 25 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Here is Simeon, and as it were, he's waiting to see the Lord. He's been told, "You're going to see this before you die." So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the Christ, the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Here is Simeon, basically, at the end of his life, waiting to see the Christ child. And he's in the temple, serving. Verse 36 says, Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna, the Bible says, about 84 years old. What was she doing? Well, she was in the temple. She was fasting and she was praying. And it says she did that night and day. Somebody says, well, what can I do when I get old? What can I do because I am old? Well, we're seeing some of the things that people did. And then I think about the Apostle Paul. He refers to himself as Paul the aged in Philemon verse 9. As he's writing to Philemon and he's talking to him about his runaway slave Onesimus and receiving him back not as a slave but as a brother. Paul says to Onesimus in verse 9, Yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. This was toward the end. I believe this would be the first imprisonment of Paul. But it was toward the end of his life. And he refers to himself as Paul the aged. You know what he was doing? He's in prison. He's old. He's writing the books of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, while in prison. An old man. And then when he was released from prison at this time, he went around traveling and visiting and encouraging churches. An old man. And there are a lot of other examples that we could turn to of how God used people in their golden years, if we want to refer to it as that, to serve Him. And what the psalmist, as he writes, he says, The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted at the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. What about today? That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon, Lord willing. We're going to look and we're going to see God's use of older people in the church today. And again, what we're able to see, and we are blessed here, is to see this happening among many. And what I want to encourage us is that we continue doing that. And those of us who are getting to the point in life to where we may be thinking about retiring, that we understand that we never retire in our service to God. The Lord expects us to continue to work and do all that we can. It's kind of like going on vacation. We don't vacate from God when we go on vacation. We may live our lives and we may go and do places, but we serve God wherever we are, whatever the circumstances are, whatever our age is. If we understand, and we should because we have the Word of God, if we understand what God expects of us, then we are obedient to His will. Let's open our books to the song that has been announced. We should be bearing fruit throughout our lives as Christians. All through our lives. Even in our old age. And what we have seen and what we will see is how that is done. And that is done in serving God faithfully, diligently, throughout our life. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. It may be that there is someone present this morning who needs to render obedience.